تريد زينة الحياة الدنيا. Do you wish the adornment of this world? That while the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never wanted this, the Prophet was not going to get anything from their Islam. But even then, Allah asked, Do you wish for this? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only wanted it for Islam. Even then, he was told not to go after them. He was told to only look at those who were sincere and only wanted the pleasure of Allah, and not only have to keep the company of these people, but have to leave friendship of certain people. وَلَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا. And do not obey or follow or get influenced by those who we made heedless their hearts from our remembrance. That heart was not worthy to get the remembrance of Allah. So Allah removed His remembrance from their hearts. This is how Allah is angry with them. He was told not to follow after the heedless people. How are they? They are the ones who have forgotten their meeting with Allah and are indulged in this life. وَاتَّبَعُوا هَوَاهُ. They only follow their desires. They live as they want, so you cannot go after them, because their heart doesn't believe in the laws of Allah. They only believe and follow after what their heart desires. One who has no remembrance of Allah nor His book in his life and doesn't want to listen or obey nor pay heed to Allah, if one is in their company, what will happen? The Prophet did not live in this type of company. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells about the disbelievers and the condition of their hearts. So He is told not to go after them. Secondly, we are being admonished and told whose company we should be in. Those who spend life following their own desires and only rely on their own intelligence and foolishness, whose life is not balanced. وَكَانَ أَمْرُهُ فُرُطًا. And his matter is one excessive. One who exceeds and is blind in his desires and disobeys the commands of Allah cannot go after them. Here we see two contrasting personalities, two different types of gatherings, and two types of relations. One group is who remembers Allah, the other group whose heart is heedless. One who wants acceptance and the pleasure of Allah, and the other who follows their own desires. Whose company should we adopt, and whose company we cannot keep? As some women attest, I can pray and fast, but I cannot cover up and wear hijab, giving the excuse that this command is not in the five pillars of Islam. They say, if wearing hijab was obligatory, then it would have been one of the five pillars. While speaking the truth is not part of the five pillars, nor working honestly, nor to serve parents, nor to keep ties of kinship. These two are not mentioned in the five pillars. There are many obligatory matters that are mentioned in the Quran. Shouldn't that be enough? These type of people are blinded by their desires. Here we are told, the Quran guides us in who we should keep as friends and who not to keep as friends, whose company we should keep and who not to keep in our company. One who is heedless and has no balance cannot stay in their company. A person is recognized by his friends. Whoever a person associates with becomes his recognition. A gathering where there is no remembrance of Allah. Here, literally, zikr of Allah is indicated, and also the Quran is included. They do not have it in their lives. What will become of those who keep their company? The person will only become like them, begin to talk like them, because a person cannot sit among a group of people and not get influenced. It is said that we have to leave friendship of those who are bad or excessive, and whose friendships are we commanded to take? Those whose attributes were just mentioned, those who are pious, as the pious do not tolerate bad company. The pious only become friends of the pious, and they avoid gatherings that are void of remembrance of Allah and are indulged in useless things. Gatherings where there is no mention of Allah, they will not tolerate it. Nor those who raise objections against the commands of Allah and have forgotten about Allah and are heedless. Those who do not leave friendship of those who are heedless, they will not let them increase in guidance, but will pull them back by mocking or criticizing the commands of Allah. We cannot say that we do not get influenced, because everyone gets influenced more or less. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding his Prophet, then how can we feel safe? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a person is upon the religion of his friend. Therefore, every person should look at who they take on as friends. People adopt trends, make criteria of likes and dislikes from their friends. Therefore, we have to be careful about our friends and friendships. We can check if being with our friends, does it increase or decrease our faith? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, remain in the company of believers, and only those who are pious should eat from your table spread, because sitting at the same place of eating shows a good relation. So this close relation and love should be with the muttaqeen, those who are pious, those who fear Allah, not with those who are heedless in remembrance of Allah, and nor those who have no regard in obeying the commands of Allah, nor those with harsh character, because the person will only become like them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave an example of a good and a bad friend. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a good and a bad friend is like a person selling musk or perfume and a person who is an ironsmith. The one who sells perfume, you surely gain certain benefits from his friendship. Either you will buy the musk or will get some perfume just by being in his company. And in his perfume shop, some fragrance will surely come onto you. But the ironsmith, his shop will either burn your home or your clothes, or in the least, the smell of burning will get on your clothes or reach your head. As we can see, if we sit in the company of a person smoking a cigarette, either the smell will be spread all over the house, and those in the smoker's company, even if they themselves do not smoke, will have smell of smoke upon them. So by remaining in their company, the bad smell will start coming from your clothes or enter your head. In a different narration, with different wording, it is mentioned that because of the smoke coming from the ironsmith's shop, your clothes will become black from the smoke. Then who would want to keep these people's friendship if it is at the compromise and cost of losing deen or falling short in obeying the commands of Allah? If we want to increase in obedience, then we have to leave such friendships and contacts. If they are very beloved, then bring them into guidance. But if they do not listen, then have to save yourself, because tomorrow these friendships will not help us. Furuta, because their matter is extremely excessive. Whenever they want, they mock the matters of deen, or whenever they wish, they call it unimportant, or call it extremism. Their matter is excessive. They do not stop in anything, even in spending. They squander in their spending, even in matters of eating and clothing are excessive. In every matter they are excessive. Therefore, we must be careful in friendships. So far we have been given two instructions. First, to come seek refuge in the Book of Allah at time of trials. Secondly, staying in the company of people. Just as the companions of Cave, they are not alone, they had the same thinking and they became friends of each other. Then they sought shelter in the cave together. So need friends and companions like them, those who are with the same thinking, and ones who do وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. Those who become a support and ones to hold us up when we begin to fall, or ones to keep us on the straight path, ones to encourage us in the path of Allah, and those who enjoin us with patience and remind us of the truth. Then this is the friend we should be looking for. Because at time of trials, it will be crucial to guard one's faith. And from where our faith is falling short, stay away from those places. وَقُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. Tell them the truth from your sustainer. They had asked about the companions of the cave, so it was narrated to them with details, so the truth has come forth. The actual matter has been revealed by your Rabb, your Lord. So now, what do you decide? فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. So whoever from them wills should believe, and whoever wills should disbelieve. This does not mean that go ahead is okay for them to disbelieve. As a parent or a teacher keeps telling a child or a student something constantly, then after so much telling them, says, okay, if you want to listen, then listen, and if not, then don't listen. Everything was conveyed clearly. There is no compulsion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives freedom of choice to every person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't force faith upon anyone. There is no forcing of faith, nor that accept Islam or you will be killed. No. The Quran tells us no when we read La ikraha fid din, but this does not apply to Muslims. A Muslim cannot say, you cannot tell me to pray. Because if one becomes a Muslim, then la ikraha fi deen doesn't apply, but have to follow deen in its entirety. This is for one who didn't accept Islam yet. They cannot be forced. فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ. So whoever wants to believe should believe. Allah is not dependent nor in need of anyone believing in Him. It is not incumbent that everyone should believe. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in Surah Bani Israel, إِنْ أَحْسَنْتُمْ أَحْسَنْتُمْ لِأَنفُسِكُمْ وَإِنْ أَسَأْتُمْ فَلَهَا. If you do good, you do good for yourself. And if you do bad or evil, you only hurt yourself. This believing of people does not hurt Allah. In one Hadith Qudsi, it states, if all of mankind, jinn, from the beginning till the end, were to become like the most pious man, even then it will not add or increase in Allah's kingdom with anything, even to the weight of a wing of a mosquito. And if all of the mankind and jinn from the beginning to the end were to become like the worst man, so much so that the heart becomes like that of a devil, even then it does not decrease in Allah's kingdom in anything, even to the weight of a wing of a mosquito. This is a hadith from Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah. So whoever wants to believe, it will only benefit them. And whoever wants to walk upon disbelief and prefers disbelief, then they can disbelieve. Allah gave that right of choice for mankind to choose whichever way they want. This is not after conveying once and then saying, believe or don't believe, as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would worry so much about the people not believing in the message that Allah revealed the ayahs which we learned in ayah 6. فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِيٌ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ إِلَّمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ. And now, here it says, believe or not. Both are extremes. It cannot be as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam worried to the point of grief, nor that a person becomes careless about the guidance of people. Allah enjoins the middle way, not to the point of grief, and cannot be careless as da'i, saying, I don't care if they go to hell or not. A da'i of deen should always have the sincere worry and desire to convey to the people. Only when the da'i, or the one doing da'wah, has sincere regard for the people, then can do the da'wah work. The work of da'wah is a sensitive work. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that in the end, when the truth has been made clear, then it is up to the person to believe or not. Then whoever chooses disbelief can live their life in this world. But then Allah states, إِنَّا أَعْتَدْنَا لِلْظَالِمِينَ نَارًا. Indeed, Allah prepared for these wrongdoers a fire. أَعْتَدْنَا is in the past form. That means the fire has already been prepared. If anyone questions, why such a severe punishment for one who disbelieves? Because the Lord who created, who sustained, who fed, who gave to drink, who gave life and all the faculties, even breathing. Then if anyone disbelieves in him, this is not a small matter. What is the zulm here? Whoever denies and disbelieves. أَحَاطَ بِهِمْ سُرَادِقُهَا will surround them, its walls. Suradiq is like a tent or anything that surrounds, that does not have a roof. So this fire will surround them from all around. It will be a wall of fire. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri said about Suradiq that they are four thick walls, and the width of every wall spans the distance of 40 years. This is mentioned in Tirmizi. The walls of fire will surround them, and there will be no place of escape. There is a hole in the wall by which they look out, and they are stuck in the middle of the fire, and its smoke is also encompassing them from all around. Astaghfirullah. No one will have ever seen a wall like this before. We learn in Surah Al-A'raf, the hellfire will be their bed and covering. وَإِن يَسْتَغِيثُوا يَغَاثُوا بِمَاءٍ And if they ask for water, when they beg or beseech for water, they will be relieved. How will they be responded to their cries for water? As they will be surrounded with the fire, and they will not be able to escape. So when they call out for water, they will be relieved with بِمَاءٍ كَالْمُحْلِ What is muhl? The first meaning is molten metal that becomes like thick lava, almost like fire. They will be given this to drink. The second meaning is the wound discharges come out of the wounds of the dwellers of hell. Although this is also liquid, but so different than water. It is yellow pus, which is called kalmuh. Yashwil wujuh. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. May Allah protect us and our descendants from this torment. It will roast and scald their faces. Why is this said? How is the face getting burnt if it is coming down like rain? A person doesn't put their face up but down. But here the face is specifically mentioned because in hell the hair will be pulled back and the faces will be exposed. So when it rains with this fluid, it will fall directly on their face. And this is the most sensitive part of the body, and every drop of it will burn their face. This is not an easy matter. If a person adopts disbelief, it takes a person to a worse state than even death. Even dying upon faith is better than this outcome. بِئْسَ الشِّرَاب How bad is this drink? It will not only fall onto their faces, but they will also drink it. In Musnad Ahmad, it is mentioned that as soon as this fluid goes near the mouth of the disbeliever, it will melt the skin of their face. In the Quran, it also mentions that they will be made to drink it. They will swallow with great difficulty, and from that, the faces will scald, and upon entering the body, it will cut up their intestines. This is what will be given to them to drink, black, stinking, and smelly drink. In this world, in hot temperatures, people do not even want to drink room temperature water, and they ask for cool water. We must warn others, and especially our children, about these punishments, so they know the outcome of disbelief. A person can die, but not leave their faith. This faith is a very important matter, and upon it depends life of eternity. We hear so much about people becoming atheists. This is a very important matter, and these ayahs should be conveyed to people. This is such a bargain for a torment that will never end. After learning this, people should realize how important it is to safeguard their faith and to hold on to it their entire life. And if one does not believe in Allah, what will be their outcome? What will they get to drink in hell? It will not be water, but pus or wound discharge or molten brass. And there will be no escape. Not only these will be given to drink, it will rain upon them and scald their faces for those who dwell there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us the outcome of disbelief. This is the mercy of Allah that He tells us about it here in this life, so we can save ourselves from it. This is the favor of Allah if He warns us. Just as if someone warns us about a fire or a huge ditch upon a road we are traveling on, wouldn't we be thankful to them for warning us of the danger? وَسَاءَتْ مُرْتَفَقًا. How bad and evil is this as a resting place. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from that. Ameen. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Indeed, those who believe and did virtuous, good and righteous deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only warns, but also gives good news. But it is up to mankind to decide which group to be in. Good news are not for everyone. Only those who believe and do righteous deeds. What are the salihat? They are the deeds that are according to the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they are done sincerely for the pleasure of Allah. So those who believe and do good deeds, then for them is a reward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna la nudiyu ajra man ahsana amala. Indeed, we will not waste the reward of one who did good works and deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who do good deeds will be rewarded. Bringing sincerity in doing good deeds requires striving the entire life. People do deeds according to the sunnah, but sometimes lack sincerity. Sincerity is an inner matter and based on intention. Sincerity is to do good only for the sake of Allah and no one else. People say, we are only doing it for Allah, but then Allah tests them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala checks to see if it indeed was for His sake or for the people, or showing off, or to gain popularity, or any other purpose. Intentions change. Even if we begin doing something good with sincerity, then shaitan comes down the road and puts waswasas or his whisperings that cause the intentions to change. Only if we follow up good and sincere intentions with good deeds, then the reward can be secured. أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتُ عَدْنٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهِمُ الْأَنْهَارُ. These are the ones, for them are gardens, underneath them flows the rivers. They are told about their life in the hereafter, and how their life is in this world. What will be their life? يُحَلَّوْنَ فِيهَا مِنْ أَسَاوِرَ. They will be adorned with bracelets. مِنْ ذَهَبٍ. From gold. وَيَلْبَسُونَ ثِيَابًا خُضْرًا. And they will be dressed with garments that are green. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a brief description about the garments and the jewelry people of Jannah will wear. We cannot truly imagine these things here, because they are incomparable to anything of this world. We get a description about the bracelets. They will be of gold. In certain places of Quran, it states they will be bejeweled. In some places, it is mentioned that they will be of silver. It is possible each are given according to the ranks in Jannah. In this life, gold is haram and prohibited for men. But in Jannah, even men will wear jewelry. We cannot say that jewelry doesn't look good on men. We must remember the things that we are told about Jannah may seem not according to the trends of today, as men commonly do not wear jewelry. And if we find it strange to hear of it, because trends are reflective of the prevailing culture, such as wearing watches, is considered an adornment of men today. And in other times of history, other things were considered adornment. So the jewelry men will be made to wear in Jannah will suit men and will be appropriate as adornment there. It will not look strange and out of place. Styles are formed according to the period of time a person lives in. Just as if we see a man wearing clothes from 100 years ago, we would laugh at what they are wearing and will find it strange and out of place. While 100 years ago, that would have been considered trendy and fashionable. So fashion is according to a particular time period and even an area. Similarly, when men will wear gold and silken clothes, which they are prohibited in this life, they will not find it strange there, and they will look beautiful in it. About the jewelry of Jannah, we learn from a hadith that if a person of Jannah would look at this world while wearing his bracelets, the shine of the bracelets would be so much so that it would overpower even the light of the sun. Subhanallah. We see how the brightness of the sun overpowers the light of the stars. The bracelets will be such that it will overpower the light of the sun. One can only imagine what their shine will be. Subhanallah. And the women of Jannah will be granted such beautiful and fine garments that at one time she could wear 70 garments. Even while wearing 70 dresses, even then the leg bone will be visible. She will have such clear skin and such fine garments. In Bukhari it is mentioned about the women of Jannah, the veil upon her head will be more valuable than the world and all that it contains. Subhanallah. The garments of Jannah will never turn old, but whenever the people desire, they will change their garments. Such are the garments and articles of clothing of Jannah. Not just the garments or jewelry. A person will get whatever they desire there. And also, yuhallawna, if we look at the word, they will be adorned. Similarly, in this life, there are beauty parlors where a bride is prepared and jewelry is put on her. This is something showing honor. The attendants at the parlor decorate the hair and put makeup on the person. In Jannah, they will be adorned by someone else. But the clothes they will put on themselves, as says, yalbasuna. So to adorn them, there will be beauticians who will get them ready as brides are. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us reach there. Allahumma ja'alna minhum. Ameen. And what will the clothes be like? They will be made of sundusim wa istabarak. They will be made of fine silk and thick silk or brocade. They will be fully adorned and well-dressed with their jewelry. Then after that, they will not be tired from managing the fancy outfits and fancy jewelry upon themselves. Because there is no fatigue or getting tired in Jannah. They will be ones relaxing on the raised couches with the beautiful cushions. One type of sitting is sitting alert and another is sitting relaxed. How does one sit relaxed when they are enjoying themselves? When there is no work, and no worries. In this life, people yearn for the time to relax, but never have it. They will be sitting upon al-ara'ik, which are raised couches, just as one set up for the bride and groom, with canopies. They will be elevated. Their place of seating will be just as a place set up for a king to sit upon. Going back to the jewelry of men, in this life, where do we see men wearing jewelry? If we even look at the movies of the kings of long time ago, we can see them wearing jewelry. In Jannah, men will be treated like kings and the women like queens. Every dweller of Jannah will have his or her kingdom, while in this life, even building one house for a person is difficult. And they will have a kingdom, not just one house. Ni'ma sawab, how good is the reward. the recompense. وَحَسُنَتْ مُرْتَفَقًا. And how beautiful is it as a place of rest. We see the comparison of both locations. Previously, we learned about the hell being a resting place. It was called وَسَاءَتْ مُرْتَفَقًا. How bad it is as a place of rest. Now here, وَحَسُنَتْ مُرْتَفَقًا. How beautiful is Jannah as a resting place. Just even a small description about Jannah, how it will be like. Here we learn the description of just clothes, jewelry, and couches. And not all of its blessings are mentioned. It is said that Jannah is no eyes have ever seen, no ears have ever heard, and no ideas that entered a person's heart. Such are the blessings of Jannah. But to gain them is a price we need to pay. This is not for free. Even a thing worth a dollar is not free. Likewise, Jannah of Allah is not free. For getting there, we are told, is price. Aminu wa amilu salihat. Believe and do good righteous deeds. Then a person will get Jannah with the mercy of Allah. Here the khutbah ends. Alhamdulillah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Please listen to the tilawa.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل الله أعلم بما لبثوا له غيب السماوات والأرض أبصر به وأسمع ما لهم من دونه من ولي ولا يشرك في حكمه أحدا واتل ما أوحي إليك من كتاب ربك لا مبدل لكلماته ولن تجد من دونه ملتحدا واصبر نفسك مع الذين يدعون ربهم بالغداة والعشي يريدون وجهه ولا تعد عيناك عنهم تريد زينة الحياة الدنيا ولا تطع من أغفلنا قلبه عن ذكرنا واتبع هواه وكان أمره فرطا وقل الحق من ربكم فمن شاء فليؤمن ومن شاء فليكفر إنا أعتدنا للظالمين نارا أحاط بهم سرادقها وإن يستغيثوا يغاثوا بماء كالمهل يشوي الوجوه بئس الشراب وساءت مرتفقا إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات إنا لا نضيع أجر من أحسن عملا أولئك لهم جنات عدن تجري من تحتهم الأنهار يحلون فيها من أساور من ذهب ويلبسون ثيابا خضرا من سندس وإستبرق متكئين فيها على الأرائك نعم الثواب وحسنت مرتفقا